It's the official, unofficial podcast of the city of Trenton, New Jersey. Yeah. With your host, Frank Ferocious Sasso.
Trenton still makes and the world still takes.
And Christina Firestarter Sasso.
Trenton is Mayberry with attitude.
Hang tight, because we're going to meet the lifeblood behind the culture, food, arts, music, pork roll, punk rock, hair, butts,
education, talent, events,
of Trenton, New Jersey. Here's Frank and Christina.
Yes, yes, yes.
Hello.
Back again.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Why are you saying hello like that?
Because I'm excited. I want to get started.
I got to have this tooth looked at. It's driving me nuts. It's right now, it's throbbing. I had a good year and a half, no tooth issues.
Yeah. I'm surprised you even have any left.
What does that mean? Don't. Listen, well, thank God no one listens to this show. They won't even
they won't hear this.
We had a great weekend.
Yes.
Our new property in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That was a lot of fun.
It's a nice little getaway.
Nice little getaway, indeed.
But it's nice to be back. Into the action.
Met some of the hill people.
Right. We're called flat. Now, I always want to say flatliners, but it's not that. It's flatlanders.
No, we're not flatliners. We're flatlanders.
Yes.
Which means?
We live in the flat area down below Route 80.
Right. That's the one of the flatlanders.
Right.
Which
right.
I kind of like. I kind of like that.
But I'm happy to be back in town, at home.
Back in the fray. At home, back in the fray. Always looking for a fight?
Yeah, I'm going to come out swinging.
You do.
That's what I was told.
You've been told that by a pastor, actually, no less. which I think is a good thing. I mean, I don't know. That's me.
Me
you know,
too.
Whatever. Remember the episode with John Hatch?
Of course.
With the DOT?
Yes, I do. I do.
Well, listen. I got a phone call the other day from none other than Trenton's own Fembot.
And LaFembot. You know that is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And LaFembot. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go back to listening to Jane Austen Was a Fembot with the ever-present Erin Fryer.
Indubitable.
Yeah, the indubitable Erin Fryer, who has her own show called The Town Fryer Podcast on the New Pod City Podcast Network, available for all of your podcast listening needs. She says to me, "Hey, Frank, I want to come on your show." I'm like, what do you
got something to say?
You've already been on the show. She's like, I need to really come on the show. I've got something to say. And I'm like, what do you? Mm-hmm. And then I'm thinking, what is she going to do now? I'm getting like a little concerned.
Yeah, and then we got all fired up.
Yeah, well, no, she got all fired up.
Right.
Because I said yes.
Ah.
So I don't know if I started regretting that immediately or not. I don't know where
she's... No, this is going to be good.
Okay.
Yes. And we have another special guest together.
Okay. These guests can wait. We're doing a show.
I want to get started.
Don't worry about them. They'll be fine. They're sitting there smiling. Anne's looking at me like, I don't know what. What's the matter with you? So here's the thing. After the NJDOT episode, emails were flying back and forth.
And don't stop. Keep sending them.
Keep sending them, podcast.
Because as far as I know, there has been no public forum, which we were told.
The only public forum happening is this show. That's it.
Listen.
That's the public forum.
Keep writing those emails. You're going to be the grit in the oyster that reveals the pearl.
Right. The irritant.
The irritant.
Which I've actually been called.
Yes.
By a pastor. Anyway, so that's a whole other show. It's a whole other show. Anyway, we have with us today.
Yes.
Talk about coming out swinging. Anne Labatt, mm-hmm. otherwise known as Anne LaFembot. That's what I like to call her.
Mm-hmm.
And Alchemy Consulting's own mm-hmm. Shakira Abdul Ali is with us. And they look pretty tough. Shakira scares me a little bit. And I kind of got her number a little bit. But Shakira, I'm very far away from Shakira. She can't do anything to me. Podcasty, don't worry about me.
I don't know. I think she could make a leap.
I'm like a cat. I could be out of here in 2 seconds. So if I say the wrong thing, oh well, too bad. Okay. Podcastia, please welcome Anne Labatt and Shakira Abdul Ali with us today on Trenton Wave.
I'm
really
excited.
I'm so excited.
Podcastia is so excited. You hear that roar of the crowd.
I love it. Yes.
Anne Labatt.
Yes.
What brings you to our door?
The issue of the moment, at least to my thinking in Trenton, is we have recently found out that the State Economic Development Authority, in its wisdom or just habit, is proceeding with a plan to tear down some quite striking, iconic buildings in our downtown.
Are you talking about Trenton's own Guggenheim?
Kind of. I actually like that reference. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah. The Guggenheim of Trenton.
Yeah, it's our round building.
That's right.
By way of background, several years ago, myself and a whole bunch of citizens of Trenton were involved because our then governor, Chris Christie, was a lame duck, wanted to spend a lot of money really fast and through his friends and, you know, give a lot of contracts. And so he was casting around looking for things to do, and there was some people at the state kind of evaluating buildings and what was in line, maybe needed to be replaced, maybe needed to be renovated. And out from nowhere came a plan that was going to renovate downtown and build big buildings. And a lot of us looked at that and said, that's not going to help our downtown. Mm-hmm. Those buildings where he's talking, new buildings are great. Okay, but where they're putting them is going to actually hurt downtown. They're going to be at the fringe. And then they were going to tear down the buildings that they were replacing. That was Taxation on the corner of State and Barrack Street and what everybody calls Health and Ag, which are down on South Warren and John Fitch Way, and they're striking buildings. They're kind of mid-century modern buildings. One is a cube that sits a little bit taller behind a round building, which was a lab building for, I think, the Department of Health or Agriculture. I'm not actually sure who did the lab work there. But they were not really well maintained or updated over the years by the state. And so the powers that be felt it was just, get rid of them and move on to new buildings. Right. And, we fought what we thought was a good fight to try to get a good construction project downtown, something more akin to the 21st century that we're in. But in fact, they built something right out of the 1960s. Mm. That's, fringe suburban style office buildings off the tax roll, single use, no mixed use, no public-private partnerships, which is what dynamic, forward-looking cities indeed are doing. So we took our loss and took a deep breath and went on with trying to do good things in the city and doing our work. And then they went on building the buildings. The buildings are now built. They're moving people into that. And I actually made an inquiry about, well, can I show the Health and Ag buildings to a prospective client? I mean, I should say for folks that haven't heard us before, I have a commercial real estate firm that serves downtown Trenton and is located in downtown Trenton. And so, I thought, well, these could be available. Now, they're not listed. They're not my listings. I don't have any kind of commission relationship with anybody, but I do like to show anything that's available to prospective tenants, buyers, people moving into Trenton. And come to find out, we were told, well, they're going to be torn down. I was taken a little bit by surprise. I hadn't been paying attention. Why was this old Christie plan still kind of marching along? Mm-hmm. We had new leadership, and the governor told us help is on the way for Trenton. And we were just, wait a minute. And so I was able to kind of get a tour. The EDA arranged. We ended up bringing quite a large tour, including the mayor and some other folks through. And the buildings are quite interesting, quite striking, and why are these being torn down? Mm-hmm. They were built in 1960, so they do need updating, all new equipment, but we do that. I mean, if the lobbyist row across from the State House is an example of people updating and reusing older buildings, I don't know what is. Then we've got the example of the Roebling buildings. We know about adapting buildings for new uses and a new era.
Sure, mm-hmm. Of course.
And these were never offered on the public market to developers or anything. It was just gone. Well, at the same time, Shakira and I have been looking and talking to folks about how do we get people's attention on the really unfair tax burden Trentonians pay. Let me have Shakira talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, now, Shakira, sure. now what's your story here?
Yeah, so I actually met Anne on this issue. Uh-huh. Anne had brought together a planner and a couple of people to talk about this issue, held a couple of forums. One was at the Friends Center in downtown Trenton, and that was 2016. Right, yeah. Feels like longer ago, but pandemic has destroyed all meaning of time, mm-hmm. so I don't really have any orientation around that. But the point is that I met Anne by way of this conversation about putting up two new single-use buildings that the state was only going to disregard repair of for the next 40 years, and we'd be back in the same situation 40 years from now.
Right.
When we lost that battle, we kind of moved on, and as Anne said, we kind of took our eyes off the ball, and now we're discovering that they're talking about tearing down, as she said, two very iconic buildings in the downtown area. And when I say iconic, meaning they really do have history to them, Le Corbusier and...
Well, the architects, it's a husband and wife architecture team designed and then oversaw the construction of that.
Mm. A husband and wife architecture team.
Yes, it was Alfred Kloss and Jane West Kloss. And before they knew each other, he studied in Germany with Mies van der Rohe. And she studied in France with Le Corbusier.
You can see the likeness of those styles in those buildings if you look carefully. But my point was around being a taxpayer, a homeowner and a taxpayer here in the city of Trenton.
And you live in Trenton?
I live in Trenton.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So my background really, it kind of comes out of economic development. I worked in the city of Newark in 76. I started there in the Ken Gibson administration. And I saw the city turn from basically a shell of itself to now what is, you know, a city that is taking developers and tenants from the New York area because New York is expensive.
Mm-hmm. So Newark is thriving.
So Newark is thriving. It is. It's really doing very well. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody's been in downtown Newark lately, but it doesn't look like it did 40 years ago. That's okay. For sure. Mm-hmm. The point is that the city here, I think the city's height in terms of population was somewhere around 130,000, 120,000 people. Mm-hmm. We're now around 85,000.
Right.
We could probably bring in 30,000 middle income families mm-hmm. in this community and not displace one soul.
That's right.
Because the housing stock is available.
Absolutely.
Now, a lot of it needs to be redone.
But it's glorious.
But it's there.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's because there are so many empty and abandoned buildings
right.
in our town.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We need rateables.
Right.
The people who are living here and own property here and paying taxes here are covering the burden for literally the entire state. I think it's just reprehensible that the state of New Jersey, which is one of the most powerful and influential states, small as we are, land-wise, you know, a lot of wealthy people live here. Mm-hmm. A lot of influential people live here.
Sure.
We have oceanfront property. We've mm-hmm. got lakes. We've got
riverfront
property. Mm-hmm. We're called the Garden State, mm-hmm. despite the turnpike going through a million small communities. We are an influential state.
Mm-hmm.
There is absolutely no reason why anyone who lives in New Jersey should tolerate the way that our capital city looks.
Right. And just for the sake of podcast, yeah, our listening audience and myself, what are rateables?
The city and the community, the government runs on property taxes. And every piece of property is a rateable, whether okay. it's a small single family house or a multi-story, office mm-hmm. building.
Mm-hmm.
Those are rateables.
Gotcha.
And so we need as many live rateables as right. we have. Now, right. the problem that we have here in Trenton is that we're 7 square miles. Maybe about 40% of our 7 square miles is occupied by tenants who don't pay taxes.
Right.
State government, county government, municipal government, hospitals, clinics, churches, schools, all of those buildings take up property mm-hmm. and they don't pay taxes.
Right.
The only people who are paying taxes are business owners and homeowners.
Tell mm-hmm. me about it.
Those are the only people who are paying taxes, and there are not enough of us.
Right.
It's breaking our back.
Right.
Okay. So basically, what we're saying here then is, Podcastia, we're calling on you again.
Call to arms.
Because, you know, Anne mentioned in the state's wisdom. What? The state's wisdom? Okay, I have an idea. Let's knock down a building next to a parking lot to make another parking lot. For who? Who are these parking lots for?
Right. The year of the parking lot is kind of...
Yeah, really?
Well,
and these ride share companies around now?
And also, who's riding to work anymore? Isn't exactly. everybody working from home now?
Yeah, what happened to the Zoom meetings?
These plans were cooked up before pandemic.
This,
but I will tell you, even besides that, I really think we've got to have a different state policy mm-hmm. on parking. And I would have said this before, but it really is important now. We need to think about incentivizing people to be on trains or to not be driving. Mm-hmm. And so I think the state needs to rethink its parking rather than buying parking on behalf of a lot of its employees,
mm-hmm.
incentivizing them to drive. Why not negotiate with the unions or wherever you got to do it to say, we'll give an allowance. And you can use that allowance to either buy a parking spot or buy a transit pass, or to carpool and maybe stop for dinner at one of our restaurants on the way home, or buy a bike or whatever.
Right.
So you're not insisting that everybody kind of gets in their car and drives to their assigned or unassigned parking space. Mm-hmm. It's just backwards looking. We've got to get away from that. And this is more of the same. Now, one of the things I want to kind of call to people's attention, there is a longstanding plan. It's probably a 30-year-old plan to rethink the fact that many years ago, we lost access to the riverfront. Route 29 became an expressway where there had been a beautiful waterfront Stacy Park, which is now a shadow of itself up in the island area. But 30 or so years ago, maybe it's more now, there was a major plan done. And what came of that was that we would create a boulevard. We would realign Route 29, pull it away from the river, kind of in the vicinity of the War Memorial, and slow it down. It becomes a boulevard. And you would reinstitute the street grid that had been there historically, create some good urban development lots, and then also create a state park along the waterfront. For flood reasons, that makes sense. But for open space and just livability, it makes a lot of sense. But the idea of reinstituting the street grid and creating good new development sites, and I heard a Governor McGreevy era consultant say, yeah, and then build good urban buildings in those lots. And I thought, great. Except mm-hmm. that what are the first thing these guys want to do is tear down the good urban buildings.
Right.
When it's very hard to get new projects started from mm-hmm. scratch. It's right. one thing to find an existing building and figure out you've got to do a renovation budget sure. and marketing. It's another thing to start with that blank slate. And mm-hmm. that's what seems really, it's really tough to get happening in mm-hmm. urban areas.
Mm-hmm. And we don't have anybody clamoring at the door to no. put up new development.
These guys are either stupid or they're being paid off. I want a name. What's the name? Who's the guy? Seriously, who's
well,
the guy
okay, so the,
that's making this decision?
The buildings are now in the control of the New Jersey Economic Development Authority, also known as the NJEDA or EDA.
Is there and someone
the,
in charge of this?
Yes, there's a guy by the name of Tim Sullivan.
Tim Sullivan. Give us a call at Newport City Studios, seriously. 609-222-2691. I'm going to get to the bottom of this. Tim Sullivan, come on the show and yes. speak your case. Yeah. Seriously.
Tim Sullivan is the man.
The invite is open.
To...
come and talk to us, Tim.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, and we'd like Podcastia, I like that term, to also kind of have a dialogue with Tom Sullivan
so
as well.
I will not disappoint. I love that she's saying, I want Podcastia to... Listen, Ann, first of all, Ann is our landlord at Newport City. Oh, yes. Ann is the owner and operator of not only Basecamp Trenton, but also her own Siegel Labatt Realty.
Yes.
That she owns and operates. But right. she is our landlord, so we're going to kind of like kiss her ass a little bit. But anyway.
Yeah, all right, sure.
Yeah, when you start that, let me know.
I love
yeah.
that she says Podcastia. Not even the listeners.
I'm following.
Branding yes. check.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so mm-hmm. when we started to push back on the Christie plan, and this is, of course, the continuation of the Christie plan, we started a group called the Stakeholders Allied for the Core of Trenton. Mm-hmm. And we put up a website. It's stakeholders-act.org. And so that was a little quiet for a while, but we've reactivated it, and we've got a petition connected there that we'd love people to sign. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the petition itself kind of outlines a number of the issues we think, because there is a number of issues. There's the good planning issue. There's the tax ratable issue. Go through it, and you can also actually add your comments that you might have to a missive or an email mm-hmm. that would go out to Tim Sullivan from your petition effort. Stakeholders-act.org. And you can get a lot more information. You can see pictures of these buildings. And you can also link to what we think are very striking graphs that speak to what Shakira's been talking about, which is this tax burden. Mm-hmm. Any Trenton property owner pays an extraordinary premium for the honor of hosting state government. Mm-hmm. And we all know that this is kind of a poor city. I think the people who are least able to pay are being asked to pay this premium.
Yeah, I think our median income in this town is something like $38,000 a year. It may be lower than that. It may be $34,000. The fact that we are maintaining state government for a community of people, and I'm talking about the state of New Jersey residents, a community of people.
Right.
Who include the likes of Donald Trump mm-hmm. in terms of property owners. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are a lot of wealthy people in this state. Mm-hmm. And for us to have to raise our taxes every year, year after year, to be host to the governance of this state, it's just not fair. And it doesn't look good. It's right. not a good look for those wealthy people to bring their friends and business associates into our state. And, mm-hmm. you know, they kind of, they look around Warren County, Sussex County, mm-hmm. Gloucester. I mean, all these beautiful places. And then you bring them to the state capitol and they're embarrassed. They don't come.
Right.
It's unconscionable that the state should allow this to happen. And I don't think it's fair to place the burden of that battle on the backs of the people who are the poorest people, you know, who right. are among the poorest in the state.
Right.
I just sure. don't think it's fair.
Yeah. You hear that Bruce Springsteen, who makes a lot of money and lives in New Jersey?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Help us
come
with
on,
this battle.
John right. Stewart. I mean, how
yeah.
many?
Yeah.
How many?
Richard Kind.
Yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean,
everybody up
so
in Montclair, half of Montclair.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So many people, you know, who are notable, noteworthy, nationally known, live mm-hmm. here in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they don't say anything about their state capital.
I would think they don't take a care about
it. Well, I don't. I think, you know, we suffer because, you know, it's hard to get the word out. We put an exhibit on that Stakeholders Act website. It's under a menu item called Trenton's Tax Premium. And we've been tracking this for the last 3 tax years when my Princeton friends complain about their taxes. And, yep, they're double mine.
Mm-hmm.
But when their house is worth 5 and 10 times mine,
mm-hmm.
the way I look at it is you're getting a deal because right. it should be related.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way you look at that is to look at what's called effective tax rates. It's an adjustment because everybody's tax rate varies from town to town. But when we do, we looked at the top 20 population cities in the state, and we looked at the effective tax rates, and we laid them out on a graph because it is stark. And we drew a line down showing where the average is. And when you look at that, Trenton's number is so far beyond the average, it's striking. And
wow.
where these numbers are going down for the average for the state and for most of these 20 municipalities from 2018, 2019, ours are, of course, going up.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2018, we were paying 84% over the average effective tax rate.
Wow.
It went up in 2019 to 88% over. And for 2020, we were paying 93%
what?
Over the... I mean, look.
It's almost
wow.
twice.
It's,
oh my, look at that big arrow.
Wow.
It's insane, the yes. premium that we are paying. And because, you know, the city leaders are forced to kind of keep a lid on that because people can't afford to pay it, what happens is we just see cuts. We see cutbacks in mm-hmm. City Hall. It's running on a skeleton staff compared to where it was before the Christie era.
I want because a copy of that graph. That's going on the website.
It's on
That's
the website.
On mm-hmm.
Oh, this is just beyond appalling.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Christie came into office and he was running for president. So he wouldn't right. raise a tax, was cutting taxes everywhere he could. And he basically ended what had been called capital city aid, threw us into the pot with every other struggling municipalities and said, have at it. You know, there's a lot of headlines at the time that we lost 100 policemen. Well, the truth is we lost more people in City Hall.
Can I, can I just say something
Jump
about that?
In, yeah.
I spent 2 years as the director for the City of Trenton's Department of Health and Human Services. I came in with the current administration
right.
in 2018. I learned when I got there that when the department had been doing so much more of the work that should have been going on,
mm-hmm.
we had a department of about 200 people in the Department of Health and Human Services. Now we're talking social services, homeless housing, animal shelter, environmental health, which those are the people that go out and do the inspections for the restaurants and the pools, making sure
right,
everything
right.
is safe.
Sure.
I mean, the nurses who are now fighting the pandemic. I don't think any of the nurses for the City of Trenton have seen a day off like for vacation since March of 2020.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, at the height of that department's size, there were 200 people. When I got there, there were 60.
Hmm.
So, and that's a result of the tax cuts, the loss of the tax subsidy that the state was giving to us because we were the host.
Mm-hmm.
Of
right.
But Christie cut all that out. And unfortunately, the Murphy administration never really restored that.
What's with that?
It's just, you know, nobody's paying attention.
It's
right.
just,
you know, people got bigger fish to fry. There's big action in North Jersey. There's, you know, I mean, granted, the pandemic's been a, you know, been a big issue nobody could have anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
But this was coming. This has been a burning issue. And Chris Christie, for instance, you know, just wanted to kind of spend money really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And so we said, well, we would like the construction. We like big projects, too. But we need them to be in the core of downtown where it would add to the street life, add to the restaurant. We had planners and architects. I mean, we yeah. had so many people writing op-eds and articles supporting us. And Christie was just on a steamroll.
Just ignored mm-hmm. it.
He was plowing through because his term was winding down and he mm-hmm. wanted these deals done. The bonds finally got sold like 2 weeks before he left office. And of course, his guys did all the bond deals. And that's real money for lawyers and bond underwriters. And he, you know, he mm-hmm. was able to make sure his friends made their money. So we're a tool.
Mm-hmm.
For the power people. We're not somebody where they want to have a vision of what a capital city, a river city, a historic city should be. No, we're just a tool. Can we get a bunch of union jobs? Can we get a new construction project? Can
when
we,
you say we're a tool, you mean we, Trenton. The city of Trenton.
We, the right, city of Trenton.
Right. We, the city of Trenton, are right. a tool.
A means you know, to an end.
For yeah. them, for their yeah. ends, which are very right. rarely motivated by what Trentonians are facing.
Right.
And so, you know, when you're talking about trying to attract new development, And I will tell you, what the state will reply is that, well, we were going to level those buildings and then make that available to new development. Well, you know what? That's a real hard thing to do. You know, there was a whole effort to say, try to get Amazon to come to Trenton. Now, I knew that was never going to happen. But, you know, you've got people making these efforts saying, we're going to land a really big company. Mm-hmm. And it ain't happened. Mm-hmm. We're going to be more likely to grow a larger corporate and employment presence than to attract some big national company.
Right.
And so we need the inventory. Mm-hmm. You need space that can come online pretty quickly.
Right.
Empty lots do not speak to that.
Right.
No.
They're daunting. Like when you're a startup company and
you're like,
oh my God, I got to start from scratch here.
Literally.
Yeah. And so having these buildings that with some work, you mm-hmm. know, on a floor by floor basis,
right.
You know, can you rethink it? And, you know, like the big square building, frankly, I think would be great apartments with views on all four sides, views of the river on two sides, views of the city on the other side. They weren't well maintained by the state, but they are 60-year-old buildings, so they would need to be reinvented. But we know what happens with the Roebling buildings, which were far older and in far worse condition, but they were able to be brought back.
Sure, mm-hmm. absolutely.
And it's just a lack of vision mm-hmm. and a lack of kind of willingness to...
And concern.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right, mm-hmm. right. Because they're not residents. They're not, they don't have a vested interest. And the thing is about the state, I'm not a big fan of the state being here. I know it's the state capital, but they are mostly people who come in, maybe eat lunch here, and then go home. Right. They don't stop. They don't spend their money. They're suburbanites. Mm-hmm. They have a suburban mentality. So they're not into a city lifestyle. They want to go pull into their garages, close the door, and watch the big screen TV. That's my impression. Sorry if I'm mm-hmm. wrong. Even now, in this day and age, people aren't even driving in. What do we need a parking lot for?
Right.
Well, I think that we've got to encourage people. I mean, we have got a train station mm-hmm. that's served by, four different rail lines?
Exactly.
There's 200 to 300 trains a day. Right. I don't know how that's adjusted with a pandemic, but that's what it was at its peak. And we've got a huge public investment in that mm-hmm. that continues. So why aren't we planning and strategizing and setting policies that direct people there? And the state is not. The mm-hmm. state is just kind of signing up for parking spaces and trying to get more. It's kind of insane. And it's very short-sighted.
And not only that, but also, how about a non-residence tax?
Yes, a non-residence tax.
Over my head. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that entails.
Yeah,
well, I think it happens in some towns, so I guess it could.
It does. In Paramus.
All right.
I worked in Paramus, New Jersey. I was living in New York. I worked mm-hmm. in Paramus, New Jersey. I had to pay non-residence tax.
Mm-hmm. Well, is that a state tax or a Paramus tax?
It's a Paramus tax.
It was Paramus.
It's going to the city of Paramus.
Oh, municipal.
Okay, yeah. Okay mm-hmm. then, yeah. I
worked there. I had to pay a non-residence tax.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I think another thing we agree and that like the Trenton 250 master plan calls mm-hmm. for is to have a lot more people living in what we call our downtown.
Yes.
So sure, absolutely.
Great. So to me, that square building, you know, it's funny. Mm-hmm. I do tell the story. I represent and hoping to have a deal soon somehow. For the building that people know that's across from the post office. It's 25 South Montgomery and also called Old DMV to people that used to got their first license there or whatever. But I get calls a couple of times, well, I would say at least once a week, sometimes twice a week, from mm-hmm. developers from this region who are looking for buildings that they can adapt to apartments. Mm-hmm. And that one, the core of the building, the elevator, the stairs are tucked into a corner. And it happens to not work. It would be wildly expensive to either relocate that, make that more central, create hallways, you'd waste a lot of space, mm. too much distance from the windows. And it's a good office building. It's mm-hmm. really not a good apartment building. So I was really curious to see these two state buildings and what the story is. And sure enough, that big, both of them, the core mm-hmm. is right in the middle, which is what a developer would want. You mm-hmm. would have apartments going all the way around with a core in the middle that everybody has equal access to. Mm-hmm. And good distances between the windows and that core, so nobody's too far from windows. Mm-hmm. And the round building, which is probably not a residential building, but I think, how sexy would that be to take all the partition walls and the office walls out and have big open plan collaborative round mm-hmm. spaces,
like right. Google,
you know, maybe you
Google
put a
office space.
Yeah, maybe sure. you make a skylight through the middle and bring it all down with mm-hmm. an atrium or something. I'm not sure. I'm a frustrated right. architect, but it could be spectacular. And there are there are plazas around there that you could do it. And we were laughing. There's a little bit of social media going on because there's a greenhouse there that's been empty for a long time.
I see that.
Right and I'm like, well, why not a beer garden or you know or something?
Now you're singing my wife's song. Now you're saying something. Now you're saying.
But reinvent plazas. I can see canopied areas, indoor, outdoor, mm-hmm. eating, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, where's the vision?
I know.
Right.
just dullards. It's like they don't even know how to think. Guys, don't put yourselves in the place of being a drone where you just think like a big dope.
Well, and the irony too is that people want to say, but we're, they're not historic. Well, actually,
they are.
They are. Right. They've been deemed by none other than the state. The State Department of Environmental Protection houses the State Historic Preservation Office. Mm-hmm. And they designated these as eligible to be on the National Register of Historic Places.
Hello.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They are old enough. They are iconic enough and notable. A lot of people may say, I don't like brutalism or formalism or what that's called. Mm-hmm. Well, that's always true. Everybody's not going to like anything, but step back from your own particular taste, perhaps. Mm-hmm. People are saying, well, we're known for, historic. And they think colonial or they think, the 1800s. But why not value both our colonial heritage, our industrial era heritage, and this heritage, the mid-20th century modernist.
Which is hot now, right? Yeah. People love that look.
Well, I like it all. I mean, I love Mill Hill. And I like the Justice Complex. Mm-hmm. I mean, they couldn't be more different eras, different styles, but I think a dynamic city
has both. Mm-hmm. Or everything. Yeah. Right. A little bit of everything.
Yeah. Right. I do like the Justice Complex. It is cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is cool.
And you know what? As you travel around, because we've traveled around a lot recently.
Since September.
We've been traveling through small towns, bigger towns, like Virginia, Richmond, Virginia. Mm-hmm. What wonderful use of the James River. Like, all those houses and warehouses down by that are being reused for different things. Restaurants on the bottom floor, maybe design firms on the top floor, or residences, hotels. And the river has become this magnet for people to come in and stroll around. Sure. And
it's a real asset that we haven't been taking advantage of.
Right.
Right. We haven't been taking it. It doesn't mean we're not able to. No, we are able to.
Yes. Because we need people to live downtown. Why create spaces where they're just going to sit empty?
Right.
The parking lots are empty. The
office buildings, the single use office buildings are empty on the weekends. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean,
we pushed hard for mixed use public private partnerships.
Yeah.
And Christy
But people that were going after, they would say, oh, it's because of COVID. That's why they're empty. Baloney. No, that's not why they're empty.
Nobody wants to come back.
People
to work,
are riding their bikes. They're taking Uber. They're taking Lyft. They're getting dropped off. Please.
Right. Things have changed.
Yes. Right. Things have changed. Right. Like, you go to Philly and it's a walking, biking city.
Yes.
Right, exactly.
And Trenton is an equally walkable city.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Very walkable.
And we have a big bike community here in Trenton. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to pull out, just to make a point, pull away from downtown a little bit. We live in the South Ward, and we live right on the Delaware by the Riverview office buildings.
Yes.
How frustrating is that to drive past these buildings, sit on the Delaware River, with spectacular views across the river, of the river, up the river, down the river, and they sit empty because they're offices. And I'm like, who was the idiot who thought that was a good idea?
Moron.
That's the suburbanization of, that's the, that campus thing. But, I think, we're not unique. This happened in a lot of places. Mm-hmm. And in fact, right now, the New York Senator Schumer has a bill in the Senate in Washington. And what they want to do is put real money into undoing these screw-ups.
Really?
They want to put, there's money.
Oh, wow.
I saw an article about this, and I got excited, and I started talking to some of the folks in City Hall, and they're like, oh, yeah, we saw that, too. There were bad highways built in many locations, and the article that I read, I think it was the Congress of New Urbanism, whatever, they linked several examples of bad highways. Mm-hmm. Route 29, right on the list.
Oh, wow.
What number? Do you know what number?
Wow.
Number one.
The bill.
I don't think they didn't number the top. They didn't rank them. They're just all bad.
One. It's horrendous.
They're just all bad. Mm-hmm. I just hope I'm just hoping we don't find that's a state highway and then they're not eligible or something. But I do understand the mayor is very concerned about this and is looking to maybe use some of the stimulus money coming out of COVID to push that forward. And, these are important kind of transformative but long-term view issues. And that's where we come up short. These people aren't taking long-term views, and we're all the worse off for that.
Yes, I agree. It's like, let's fix a problem, but not really for now, and then deal with it when I'm gone. Like, meaning, all right, I'll fix it while I'm in office.
you know, put a Band-Aid on it. And then when I'm retired, who cares what happens? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's that's like the mental attitude.
I just got to get through my day and my week. And
Right. And get home.
No, I thought you were talking for you. totally thought that was an alien moment.
We're channeling everybody. Yeah.
Listen, and whatever you want, I'm right there for you, baby.
What?
All right. Do you want to give Podcastia the battle cry like you did before?
Yes.
All right, Podcastia, buckle up. Because I got Christina coming at you right now. With her call to arms.
All right. So in the tradition of the American way, it is your right to tell your representatives what you want to happen in your cities and the cities around you and your neighborhood and the neighborhoods around you, to link arms with other people in other cities and neighborhoods and towns that are going through stuff. Okay. We're in this together. So the best way to do this, despite what others might tell you, is to write your representatives. Write the people who are, representing you. They work for you. They can't do things without your approval. No taxation without representation. You are represented and they work for you. So you have a staff and you can tell them how you feel about things. That's the American way. That's what this country was built on. So get out your typewriters.
Typewriters? Baby, listen.
Get out your IBM Selectrics.
Oh, God. Your word processors.
Yes. Your pens and your papers and your computers, of course. And send out emails demanding some kind of representation here or some dialogue. The state cannot just plow through their own agenda. It's not legal. It's not right. People of Trenton, people of New Jersey, people outside of New Jersey who care about where our cities are going and what they look like. It's for everybody out there. We need to make demands on the people that we elect, and we need to make demands on the people that we hire. As a citizenry, take that position of you're the boss. You are the boss.
Right.
It doesn't matter your economic position. It doesn't matter your culture. It doesn't matter your color. It doesn't matter your religion. That's what this country was built on. So let's get back to that again.
Yes, and we can start by saving the Guggenheim of Trenton.
The Guggenheim of Trenton, yes.
Okay, and Shakira, would you like to stick around for a little something we call plugs?
But of course.
Trenton Waves Plugs. Hey, Podcastia, let's see what this guest has to plug.
Trenton Waves, TrentonWaves.com. Visit us on all social media platforms such as Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and all the rest. Not really all the rest, but definitely Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Those are definitely ones we use. Mm. And also, I'm just putting this out there again. Tim Sullivan, Big Tim, the invite is out there. You're invited. But you know what? Whatever. If we don't hear from you, we don't hear from you. However, Podcastia, here's a number I want you to call. Area code 609-858-6700. That's 609-858-6700. That's the EDA offices. And there are two emails that I want you to send emails to in support of what we're saying here. And that is customercare@njeda.com. That's customercare@njeda.com. And T. Sullivan at njeda.com. T. Sullivan, T-S-U-L-L-I-V-A-N at njeda.com. Here's what we have. On TrentonWaves.com, there's a little blurb that you can copy and paste right into an email. You don't have to worry about what am I going to say, how do I word it. You just copy and paste what we wrote there, if you're in agreement with it, and send it off to Tim. Let's bombard his, let's crash his email server. Let's just crash it.
Okay, so I just want to remind everybody about the DOT, the issue with the bridge on South Broad Street, a historic bridge that the DOT is doing right now. It's an ugly, ugly thing. And I want to remind you that all we're asking for is what other townships have gotten already, such as Princeton. Nothing grander, just something to notify people that this is a historic place. This is where Washington came into Trenton on his way to his inauguration in New York City. This is a very important place, and we just want equal footing with Princeton. And if you're not going to give us equal footing with Princeton, we're, hey, the state capital, then I must ask why. Are we lesser than Princeton? Why are we lesser than Princeton? I don't know. That sounds elitist and racist. Thank you very much. So I want you guys to keep on it. don't give up. We're going to keep you posted on any developments with that, but don't forget about it, because that's what they're banking on, that you're going to forget and you're going to go to sleep and you're going to let them plow through whatever they want to plow through. Remember, they work for you, so you're the boss.
Okay, Ann and Shakira, what have you guys got going on?
We want to direct people to that website we mentioned earlier. It's stakeholders-act.org. If you sign that petition, there's a letter that will go to Tim Sullivan. If you live in New Jersey and put in your address, it will also go to your legislative delegation, wherever you are. Because remember, we're the capital city, so the whole legislature can chime in on this. Mm-hmm. And you will see pictures of the buildings we're talking about. You'll see them with aerial, so you'll see the parking lots surrounding them. You'll see the river in some of them, so you can imagine the views that these buildings could offer future tenants. And then also go over to the menu item that says Trenton's tax premium, so you understand our, shall I say, desperation?
Yes.
Frustration.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the idea that we are covering the cost of providing public service to all of the state office buildings for all of the departments that service every citizen, every resident of this state, every business in the state, and that the state would consider, that EDA would consider tearing down two beautiful structures in a prominent location in the downtown area that could become taxpaying private property. It's just unconscionable. And so if you care about your state, we are begging you to go to this website, sign the petition, and join us in this struggle and help us to lift up our state. Give us a fighting chance to lift up our state capital.
Yeah, and if there's other ways that you think of that you can support us, there's an email, be in touch. We'll certainly respond. We want to hear, you know, other ideas and suggestions about how we can move our mission forward here. We want to build the city. You know, we don't object to paying taxes, but we can't, A, pay this wildly unfair burden that also still doesn't bring us to the standard.
Right, doesn't cover what we need.
What we need.
Right. Doesn't cover what we need.
When streets don't get clean, when potholes don't get filled, the reality is that they just can't raise taxes anymore. Mm-hmm. And yet, all around us is state-owned property, publicly owned property, sitting on land that cannot generate taxes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, that website that you're talking about, that has a contact us on there and a phone number and all that
stuff? Yep, got all that
stuff. Okay, so people can contact you guys directly if they had to.
Sure.
Also, if you go to TrentonWaves.com, click on this week's episode, you can see a link directly to that website that will get you to it straight away. Just make sure your pop-up blockers are off so that I can redirect you to their website as well. All right, podcastia, you have your marching orders, you have your homework. Get out there and actually don't have to get out anywhere. You can just do it right from where you are right now.
Get those pens and papers.
Get your pen and papers and make sure your chisels and stone tablets.
Get your stamps.
Head on down to the post office. Lick your stamps. Put them on an envelope. And stay tuned next week when our guests will be Rich and Tim from the Rich and Tim Unleashed podcast. We are launching their show right here on Trenton Waves. And that wraps up yet another episode of Trenton Waves.
Sasso's out.
You've been listening to the Trenton Waves podcast. Visit us online at TrentonWaves.com.